The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Friday, 15th day of March, 2013. The Ides of March. The Dow is down 30 points. The S&P is down 2. Comp is down 6. Crude is up 46 cents a barrel. Gold is up $3.30 an ounce. Okay, it's been quite a day. You know, those of us here who live on the West Coast, and Phoenix is considered the West Coast 9 months out of the year when we're on daylight savings time, we get more done by 9 a.m. than most people do all day. Busy day in the live trading room. Had a huge open house. A lot of people turned out. For all of you that came to the open house today, so glad you came. Hope you enjoyed it. Apologize for the rocky start. We had some technical glitches, and so you've now seen our worst side. We invite you to come back on Monday and see our good side. Really, that's about as bad as it gets. We started late, and there was humps and bumps and hitches and glitches, but hey, we made it through because the show must go on. That's this show. All right, and here we are. So we're looking at the S&P 500 E-mini futures. That's on the big screen in front of me. It's an hourly chart. Those are hourly candles. If you're new to this radio program and you're going, what charts? All right, let's fix that. Go to the homepage of CFRN.net. On the right-hand side, there's a red, white, and blue button that says click here. Click there. That'll take you to a page with some instructions and a big green button. follow the instructions, press the green button. You'll be registered to see the charts all the way through the end of the month. First of next month, you'll re-register again, but just give it 30 seconds, register today. You'll be in here. Not only will you be able to see the charts, you'll be able to participate in the discussion. You can ask questions, crack wise, make jokes, whatever you want to do. All right? So come in, join us. If you just want to listen to the audio stream, that's fine. If you want to see the charts, come on down. Okay. I sent a tweet out last night late. We were up working late because we had the workshop. Great workshop last night. And, oh, we're giving away another iPad next Thursday night in the partners meeting. There's a video. If you go to cfrn.net/iPad, the video I showed on the show yesterday is now on the iPad page on the CFRN website. Go there. If you didn't see it yesterday, Howard was the winner. He's sitting in front of his trading station with his iPad, and it's a great video. You get a chance, drop by that web address I just gave you, cfrn.net/iPad. Watch the video, watch Blasilda draw the name from the hat, and watch the previous winner, Octavia Tovar. Watch that video and see how we drew his name. Very interesting. You'll really like that one. And so we're going to do, I'm not sure how we'll draw the name this coming Thursday, but trust me, we'll draw a name. We're going to give away, you heard me say it on this radio program, my goal this year is to give away 100 iPads. Now I'm going to have to, we're already a third of the way through the year, and we've only given away one. Next Thursday we'll make two. I got to get busy, right? Okay. Now I don't know that I'm going to make my goal. I'm just saying I would love to be able to sit back Christmas Eve, 2013, put my feet up on the desk and go, what a great year. We justified giving away 100 iPad minis. So, with your help, we'll get it done. All right, this chart here, I sent out the tweet late last night and I said, hey, if you're long this thing, you need to consider taking your profits. Now, we've been waiting all week to get to this weekly trading zone at 59.60. I said it before, I'll say it again. Weekly trading zones are an area. Now, we get used to price pinging exactly off the zone, okay? But it's an area. And so sometimes it will get within one tick. And over a span of 2 hours, when it only gets within one tick, you need to think about, maybe it doesn't quite have what it takes to get there. Now, I had said last night that we're poised if the markets were open, if Wall Street was open. See, this was on Globex. If Wall Street was open, we would hit the all-time historic highs. We would break them on the S&P cash. But if this thing starts to fall away, we're not going to do that tomorrow. And the market is going to lose its bullish footing. Well, it turns out consumer confidence was a little bit down today. In fact, it was down quite considerably. And the economists are scratching their head. They're not sure why the number was so far off. And I certainly don't know. I won't even begin to go there. But I will say this. Look at what happened. We came within one tick, all right, of 59. And then we sold off this morning. Back down to the zone, 1549. To the tick. See, this is a to the tick, and this is where it misses it by one tick. So what have we done over the last couple days? We broke through finally. 48.49 was support. Let me back up and give you the full, I'm going to give you the full picture. Okay, real quick. Now, I put some charts out on the blog to break it down for you. Okay, if we go back to Monday, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, hours, we consolidated at the 42.43 zone, and then we made a run up to 48.49. Okay, that was the first 5-point run of the week from zone to zone. We came back into the zone here. We consolidated for 8 hours. On the ninth hour, we shot this tail up, tricky behavior, David would call it. And then boom, down we came back to the zone. We actually went zone to zone in this 1 hour candle. Go to the blog, you'll see the chart. I put up a 5 minute chart. We come down and we go back up. You can't tell inside of this hourly candle, but we go down and all the way back up. We actually came shy one tick, all right? Back down and then back up and then back down and then back up. We made a total of 8 trips, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then finally, on Wednesday, we broke to the upside, okay? Notice how we took out these swing highs. I had connected them, but I said, you got to watch this. This is critical. We took it out by one tick. All right. We then come back. We test the zone, 1549 to the what? Yeah, this time to the tick. You know, again, it's an area, but it's this kind of stuff right here that gets you spoiled. Okay. So from 1549, now we know that the next thing on tap, 5960. It takes us an entire day, Thursday, grinding up. And we showed last night in the live trading room that just based on an hourly chart, you could draw some little simple trend lines, connect some tops to give yourself entries. Or, as you drew this trend line, I put on the chart yesterday at the end of the radio show, based on the hourly, as soon as we get on the other side of this trend line, go to the four tick range chart, find yourself an entry. And then last night in the workshop, we showed that entry and just ride it right on up. Okay? So, now this morning, what did we do? We came right back down to test what? Support. Now remember, all week it was resistance. And then, late on Wednesday night, it became support. We went to the next zone, came back to the tick, found support at this zone. Now we're on our way back up again. Can we make it back up? Got a few hours left in the day. We already got close. These two candles look pretty strong. Let's watch it. Let's keep an eye on it throughout this radio program today. And let's just watch it. Okay. So that kind of brings you up to speed on where we are. Now remember, these weekly trading zones, you got to be looking at this, if you're not a partner, going, man, I could just trade those things. Well, you know, after the fact, it may look a little easier than it might be in real time. Did this really go 8 times back and forth, boom, 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 boom? Yeah, it did. Okay. And can you trade zone to zone? You can. But all sorts of things get in your head and get in the way. But all I can do is show you the chart. And this isn't a special week. I'm not making a big deal because this week it like all went really great. It's the same thing week after week after week. Go to the blog. Look at the charts. There's a blog post, 2012, the year in pictures. 400 and something charts. You can see price bouncing off these weekly trading zones week after week after week after week. Okay? How you put them to use is up to you. If, let's just say you're long for whatever reason, and as you approach the zone, you go, whoa, we're running into a zone here. I'm gonna tighten up my stops. Like I said in the tweet last night, tighten them up or get out. Okay? If you didn't tighten them up or get out, well, you got a problem. Okay? And let's say you decided to get short. Early in this, you know, when that report came out, I'm going to get short, man. Okay, well, where do I get out of this short trade? It looks to me like that zone was a pretty good spot. Take your profits, okay? So again, you can use them however you want to, but they're there, and they're there for you. If you're on the free trial, we let you have them for a week. If you're a partner, you get them every Monday morning prior to the market opening. We send them out in an email. The link to the trading room, the password, weekly trading zones, link to the partners meeting, everything you need. Okay. All right. I had some news, but I've talked already for quite a bit. Donald Trump this morning gave a speech. Even the conservatives were dumbstruck. I was going to read that, but, you can read it yourself. You'll hear about it. It really was a bad speech. He made no sense whatsoever. Billionaire Sean Parker is getting ready to launch his video startup Airtime again. Okay, Do you know who Sean Parker is? Maybe you don't. He was the former Facebook president and Napster founder. Remember Napster? Remember the kid who came up with Napster? Got in a little trouble. Well, he came up with this thing called Airtime, which is, it's the bomb, as my kids would say. He launched it in New York City last summer with a whole host of celebrities, Joel McHale, Jim Carrey, Martha Stewart, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and he raised $33 million pre-launch, and then the thing just never took off. It was supposed to allow you on Facebook, if one of your friends is on Facebook, you know how you chat back and forth with your friends on Facebook? It was supposed to create a video connection between the two of you. And they say it worked really, really well. I don't know why it didn't take off. But anyway, he's quit his other job. Not like a billionaire has a job. Anyway, it says he quit his other job here and that he's going to focus all of his time and energy on making Airtime work the way he wanted it to work. The world's cheapest cell phones are now $10 each. Recently, students from MIT journeyed to Shenzhen, China, the capital of low-cost electronics manufacturing, where they discovered that cell phones can be had for as little as $10. Now, since 2012, the guts of a cell phone have been inexpensive enough to be included free in a limited run of promotional issues of at least one magazine. But that's just the electronics, and the phone they came from is $86 retail. $10 for a complete phone, including what is presumably a serviceable battery, is pretty stunning. It means basic cell phones, the kind capable of calls and texting, which are still the majority of phones on the planet, are now a commodity affordable to just about everyone. When I went to Africa for the first time, I was blown away. These people had no place to live, no food to eat, but they had a cell phone. $8, that's what it cost to buy a cell phone. I'm telling you. Now, in many countries, these phones are capable of things that smartphones in rich countries would be hard-pressed to accomplish, simply because the local telecom infrastructure has been set up to accommodate them. For example, 31, listen to this, you're not going to believe it, 31% of Kenya's GDP is funneled through a cell phone-based payment system, M-Pesa, which can be accessed via text message. People pay their bills with their cell phone in Kenya, 31% of the country's GDP. I wrote an article about this on The Motley Fool. You can go over and read it. The numbers are stunning. Aito credited these ultra-cheap phones with being a unique enabler of the Arab Spring. Since so many have been shipped to the Middle East and non-smartphones have a dominant market share there. Not all listeners agree, however. Hashif Al-Huda, an executive editor of a news outlet concentrating on the affairs of Indian Muslims, responded on Twitter that the Arab Spring is an example of social media success and is highly exaggerated. I'd have to say the evidence disagrees. Now, I don't even know what to say about this next and final little bit of news. 7,500 dead pigs floating in the Shanghai River in China. As of Friday, the number of carcasses recovered in recent days from the Hongpu River, which cuts through the commercial hub of Shanghai and supplies over 20% of its drinking water, had reached more than 7,500. Remember in the Bible, guys, when Jesus cast the demon out of that guy? The guy says, man, just cast. And the demon said, oh, you know, don't just kill us. Send us into those pigs. And so Jesus cast the demon out of the guy, sent him into the pigs, and the pigs ran off a cliff into the ocean. This is what came to mind when I read this news. It's been in the news all week. At first, nobody even knew where the pigs came from. Now they've tracked it down to some, some meat shop. That's a lot of pigs, man. 7,500 dead pigs in your river? Not good. But I've always wondered, in that passage in the Bible where they talk about those demons being put into the pigs and the pigs running off the cliff, what about the poor guy that owned those pigs? That was his livelihood, gone over the cliff. They never brought him up, never talked about him. Was he financially wiped out? Did his wife leave him because he couldn't pay the bills? Did his kids not get to go to rabbinical university? I don't know. See? Not all questions are answered in this life. All right, Michael, that's it. I've made a mess of the news once again. It's all yours, buddy.
All right. Excellent. Let me just...
$10 cell phones and pigs in the river. That's your takeaway from today's radio show.
I don't know how that is.
Oh, and we did some trading in the live. Did we have a great day in the live trading room?
Well, we had an okay day.
It wasn't a great start kind of day.
It wasn't a great day.
Yeah.
You know, the good thing is that it's the end of rollover week. That's what this is.
There you go.
The end.
I made a couple videos this morning.
This is actually Triple Witching Friday, isn't it?
Yeah. I'll put those out on the website tonight, guys.
Excellent. All right.
Oh, and we got something great coming. A lot of you guys responded to that blog post and that email about those of you who have day jobs, but you want to become day traders, how you're going to get your training. Ooh, man, we've got this thing wired, and I'll be announcing the news and rolling it out probably next week. If you're one of those people and you've already emailed me, email me again. Stay in the loop with me. This thing's about to be live and real, and you'll be ready to go. All right. You ready?
All right. I am ready.
All right.
I am ready. Let's roll. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Friday, the 15th day of March 2013, the Ides of March. It's also Triple Witching Friday, I believe, isn't it? Anyway, the results of our live trading room this morning, we didn't trade a lot. We talked a little bit, but we had a slow start. We had a little bit of a problem right at the beginning of the live trading room, so I ended up not getting started for almost a half an hour, late. When here I thought I opened the thing up at 7:14 this morning. I didn't end up actually getting in there with charts running until just before 10 o'clock. But we ended up with, what did we end up with? I think we ended up with plus 15 ticks in natural gas and plus 1 tick in crude was how we ended the morning. It took us a while because I got a late start. It took us a while to get the 2 points. It took 98 minutes to get the 2 points in 4 trades. And we actually only took 4 trades in the live trading room this morning. Once we were all messed up like that, we didn't end up taking all that many trades. Our first trade in the live trading room was a losing trade, as I will show you here in a moment. Actually, I think it was a break-even trade, and then we followed it up with a losing trade, and then a winning trade, and then another winning trade. Alright, if you have not taken the free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. In the free trial, you get access to our live trading room for 5 business days. You get access to all the indicators and software that we have to offer you. You get to see us put trades on live. You get to see us take trades off. I'll tell you when trades are setting up, even if I'm not in them myself. I try to help you out as much as I can in the free trial so that you could, you know, it won't be that steep of a learning curve for you to get, for you to capture some points or get started with your demo account after the free trial is done. Okay. Let's see. We had our partners meeting last night. Went just about 3 hours. We discussed a lot of good stuff, how to see when you're in chop. And I used stuff that we discussed in the partners meeting last night today in gold. I didn't take a single trade in gold because it was very choppy. And there was opportunity in gold when I first got my charts up and running. There was opportunity in gold, but I didn't trade in gold at all because when I started to look at it, when my charts were running, it was choppy. Okay. Let's just go over the trades. Let me go over the trades. Before I do that, though, one more thing. I mentioned that rollover week is over, and there was a message that I thought last week was rollover week. The way that the rollover works is the third Thursday of the month is usually when the rollover is. Okay, and that's the expiration. It's usually the third Friday is what it is. On the third Friday of the month is when all the contracts expire, all the H contracts expire. That is today, is the third Friday. The new contract becomes available a week earlier. Okay, a week before. So there's mixed volume between the two contracts for that whole week. So it's rollover week during that whole week. Okay. That's how rollover weeks work. This month, because March started on a Friday, you know, the 1st of March was on a Friday this month, so it kind of threw us off a little bit with the Thursday thing. but it's all right. We worked it out. Last Thursday was, the 7th, which was the first Thursday, was the day that the new contract became available. Usually it's the second Thursday that the new contract becomes available. And then we'll move to the new contract on the second Friday. This month we moved to the second contract on the second Friday, but it happened to be the first Thursday. Don't want to confuse you anymore with that. It's not typically that way. It was a little different this month. Just because of the way the calendar fell. All right. On to the trading. Okay. Let's see. This is crude oil, and we took three trades on crude. Our first trade of the morning was right here. Okay, this was our very first trade of the morning. You can see it was 10:04. That was my first trade at 10:04. That's not normal for me. I've had a few trades by 10:04, but this was our very first trade because I had a slow start this morning because my computer locked up on me. I ended up taking a break even on the trade. It did give 10 or 12 ticks profit on it. What we were looking at right here, and I'll bring up a picture for you. Let's see, which picture should it be? It should be this picture. What we were looking at was we were expecting the price to come back up and hit the BBC and give a down close off the BBC. It didn't pull back. There was so much momentum in the market that it didn't pull all the way back up to the BBC. So we just drew a trend line up the bottoms, okay? When you draw a trend line up the bottoms, what you're looking at then is a continuation of the market, like a confirmation of continuation. There's one going on right now over here on the Russell. This was the confirmation of continuation right here, okay? That's what you're looking for, okay? And that is done with divergence. On the slingshot, I'm pointing at the chart, like you can see me pointing, with divergence on the slingshot and a down close below that trend line you've drawn, okay? When you're going short, it's a down close below the trend line. I entered short over here. I actually entered short one tick lower than that because it moved quickly and I didn't think I was going to get in. It did get me in, and I ended up taking a break even because, as I explained to the folks in the partners meeting last night, when you have a bar like this, there are a couple things different about this. First, the entry was below the MA1, and then the next bar gave the full range of the bar, meaning it was a big red bar like this. It gave four ticks in my direction, and we were already below the MA1. So I moved my stop to break even, and it came back up and took me out of break even. Eventually, it went down. My entry was over here at 93.11. The proper entry would have been here at 93.12. I gave it one extra tick. 93.11 was my entry, and it dropped down to 93. I know some guys got some profit out of that. I got a break even. The next trade was right over here. We did the same thing just on the other side, just, you know, a long trade instead of a short trade. We had the bullish cross. It didn't pull back to test the BBC. We closed up above my trend line. It gave a little bit of profit, not enough for me to want to move my stop up to break even, and then it stopped me out. The next opportunity was this up close right here, okay? That up close right there. I missed that one. I didn't get into that one. That one, I think Dwayne took this one right here, and I think he recorded this whole thing when he took this, and he ended up taking 10 or 11 ticks profit on that. The next opportunity was over here on the up close above this trend line. Now, the reason you weren't taking the bounce off the BBC right here, or right here, is because the cycle was red. When the cycle's red, you gotta do the trend line. You gotta look for that confirmation. Okay, so I took that trade right there, and I got 9 ticks profit. So I got a break even on the first one, lost 8 on this one, got 9 on that one, and I was up 1 on the day, 1 tick. That was all that I did on crude oil this morning. All right, crude was it wasn't great trading. It was just okay. It was just okay, not great. That was crude. I didn't trade anything on the Russell, but I'll point out what just happened. Okay, because you're looking for the same exact thing. You see, we can use this same chart right here. This is actually a crude oil. This is actually a crude oil chart from January. But you're looking at the same thing right here. You see, I drew a trend line down these tops. We had bullish divergence down here, and this is a close above the trend line. This is a close at the trend line. Probably, I don't know, it might have been above. Let me just check my trend line. No, that's a close pretty much at the trend line. Okay. There's your trend line. That's a close at the trend line. This is a close above the trend line. So this right here is where your entry would have been. Okay? And what you look for is the green line to get up into the cycle, like it did over here, and like it did over here. That's what you look for. Okay? That was the Russell. We didn't place any trades on the Russell this morning. None. I don't even know if I missed any. I don't think I did. We'll go to gold, and I'll point out the area in gold that I was looking at, and I said I didn't want to trade, and I know some people did anyway, but right in here, this was the first opportunity on gold. I didn't take it. Some people did take this one right here, and they, you know, and they took some nice profit on it. Okay, there was a nice opportunity right in here to trade the gold. It was a down close below the trend line, and it went down nicely. There was a spot right here where you could have followed it up with another trade that would have stopped you out. Once it got into this area right in here, I believe we were right here. Yeah, we were right here. So it looked like, where did I say we were? I just lost my place. We were right in here. Is where we were, somewhere right in here. And we had bullish divergence, but we were trading below the BBC. The MA1 was below the BBC, and we were trading below the BBC. All right, I'm just going to put a box there so I can see it when I move it. Now, what it looked like when the market was actually happening is it looked like this. Okay, this is bullish divergence, and the MA1's below the BBC. So that prompted me to want to look to see what the actual market was looking like, and I said we have higher lows and lower highs. And lower highs. So we're in a choppy period right there. Okay? And I said I don't want to trade in here because we're in a choppy period. We want to wait until gold starts to give us some trend. It looked like it was going to start moving up here. I missed this opportunity once it got up out of this level right here. Once it broke out of that range, I missed this opportunity right here on a bullish cross. It came up, it gave another follow-up opportunity right here. If you got into that, you did get stopped out. There was no opportunity to move your stop to break even on that one. And it turned right back around and got back into some chop. Gold was just not good trading today. It just was not. I got to qualify that. It was not good trading after, like, the first half an hour. You know, in the first half an hour, there were people that were making some pretty good money on the gold. In the pre-market, if you had traded in the pre-market, there was some opportunity in there in the pre-market with the divergences and everything else going on. When the news events came out, right in here, there was opportunity there, but it dried right up at about 10 o'clock. All right. Let's go to the next one. The next one was the NQ. Now, the problem that we had with the NQ and the Russell and the ES this morning is the ES was shorting into a zone, or the ES was dropping down into a weekly trading zone. The Russell was below a weekly trading zone, looking to go up into a zone. And the NQ, I just said, don't do anything with the indexes because of that. I said, I'm not going to do anything with the indexes. Well, until one of them actually, until they all agree, we'll say. You know, if they're not all going into a zone in opposite directions. Eventually, the Russell got into its own zone. It wasn't below it. It wasn't above it. It was in the zone. And the ES gave a long trade up off of the weekly trading zone. So that was an opportunity. Okay. I want to just slide back here to the Russell again, because I pointed this out a few minutes ago. The entry would have been right in here. And the green line is just about up into the cycle now. So you should anticipate a pullback from this area. Okay? For those of you guys who are partners or on the free trial and have all the charts and stuff. excuse me, let me just show you the trade over here on the ES. We didn't do anything on the NQ. Okay, because of that, we didn't touch the NQ this morning. On the ES, I pointed out the trade in here on the ES right here. I believe I pointed this one out too, didn't I? Dwayne took this trade right here. That's what it was. Because when I was having trouble with my charts, Dwayne had the charts, and he took this short trade right here. And he took 2 points on the way down to the zone. I took the charts right after he took the trade, so everybody didn't get to watch it through. But we had an opportunity right here after the bullish cross, the space, the test, the up close with the bullish divergence. The same thing over and over and over again. Regardless of the market, it's the same thing. Okay, here, I'll bring that picture over. You can see this is the crude market from January. Same thing. Bullish cross, space, test, up close, bullish divergence with a blue cycle. The same thing happened here on the ES. Now, when this was happening and it started to move up, one of the folks in the live trading room in the open house this morning had asked what to expect out of the thing. And I had said, well, at the time, the green line was here, and I said, we're looking for the green line to get up into the cycle. I said, there's plenty of room for it to get up to this level right here. And if it gets up to that level and it's still not in it, then we have to look over here. It should get up to this level here at 57 and a quarter. That's what I was saying at the time. And that still holds true. It should get up to 57 and a quarter. However, if you got in the entry down here at 53, no, there's opportunity to lock in some profit here on this trade. Okay? That was the ES. Soybeans were, well, I stopped looking at them, but the soybeans were all over this morning. Okay? In the pre-market, for the soybeans in the pre-market, there was an opportunity right here, a nice perfect short trade by the book right there. And it went down a little bit. It was all pre-market. It went down a little bit. I didn't do anything with it because of that. It came back up, gave another opportunity right here. It didn't put in a lower swing on this one, so I was looking for it to bottom out. It then shot up here, didn't give an opportunity there. Off the BBC right here, there was some bullish divergence. This up close right here was an entry opportunity. If you got in there, you stopped out of that. Then the thing turned around. I stopped looking at it. But it turned around, and there was an entry. Well, there was one here, one here, and finally one down here. Okay. Those were the entries on this move down. This one probably would have stopped you out. This worked out well, that worked out well. Okay, that was soybeans this morning. The yen and the natural gas. I didn't take any trades on the yen. I'd show you the 6E, but I don't have a 6E chart up right now. The natural gas is where I ended up making the 2 points this morning. Right in here we had a pullback. Somebody in the live trading room, I forgot who it was, one of you guys, one of the partners in the live trading room, said, go look at the natural gas. And so I brought the chart up. And there was an opportunity to place a trade. Dwayne was talking. I put the trade on there, and I, again, one of those ones I put it on, and I forgot I had it on. It entered me in and dropped down. You know, and I took 15 ticks profit on that. 15 ticks profit. There. It then moved up, and at the end of the morning session, I was looking for it to give us another opportunity at the end of the morning session on the short side, but it went through the BBC. Didn't give us an opportunity on the short side or on the long side until after here. This was during the break. It gave an opportunity there, 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 and here. This last one would have stopped out. It switched directions and gave an opportunity right there, and well, if you would have just stayed in that, you would have been good. Give an opportunity right in there. It's actually given another one right here currently. That's the natural gas. All right. Now the yen. I didn't trade the yen, but another person who was in the live trading room this morning said, take a look at the yen, please. And so I did. And this was the trade that was setting up on the yen. I don't like to trade the yen on Fridays because, you know, in Asia, it's tomorrow right now. And so I don't like to trade the yen on Fridays. But here was the entry right here at 483. Dwayne got into this one, and I think he made a video of this, too, this morning. But I got into this, and the thing just dropped down nicely. You know, from the time that I came to look at it, the entry was there at 483. It quickly dropped 5 ticks, and then it dropped from 483 all the way down to 469 for a, what's that, 14-tick gain. That's the equivalent of 3.5 points on the ES. Then the thing turned around, and it gave a nice opportunity here on the long side. Okay, you would have been drawing your trend line like this, and then you needed an up close above the trend line. You would have had to redraw it like that. And so the entry would have been right in here. Okay. And now you can see it's turned around again and moved down. So off the BBC right here would have been the short. All right. So the yen gave some opportunity in there too. All right. That was it, guys. We ended the morning plus, I think we ended the morning plus $170 a contract. Is that right? $160 a contract. Let's see. This week it was rollover week, and we didn't have, you know, we didn't have big, you know, any big up days this week. We're still currently, we're halfway through the month, and we're at $3,100 a contract in our trading so far this month in the live trading room. So we had this today was the longest by far of all days to get our 2 points. We had 2 days this week that it took us almost an hour to get our 2 points, and then we had today that took us more than an hour and a half. But we managed to get our 2 points every day this month so far, and we're plus $3,100 even in the live trading room, in the trading that we've done in the live trading room. And that is on 91 trades. 91 trades so far this month. All right. It's a long month, so I expect we're going to have a banner month this month. We should, you know, we should easily get past the 4,300 level, which was our previous high. I would think we should be up in the 5,000s this month by the end of the month. All right. If you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for the free trial. If you have taken a free trial with us and you want to become a partner, send us an email at support@cfrn.net, and we'll give you the information you need to become a partner, okay? I know a lot of you guys have taken trials with us in the past, and you know, you may have been sitting on the fence for a long time, and if you want to get off that fence and become a partner, then just send us an email, and we'll send you off the partner info, okay? With that, I am going to stop the recording, and we can head out to Vegas. There, recording is off.
Alrighty. Thanks very much, Michael. Appreciate that. The S&P is still down 1. The Dow is down 28. The NAS is down 4. Let me pop over to my chart. Yeah, this thing... Look, Mike, do you have anything going on your chart? I'm going to take the charts back unless you're pointing something out.
You can go ahead and grab them.
All right.
You can grab them. I'm good.
All right. No, Jerry, we are DT Pro loyalists. We're not going to code for any other platforms. We're just, it's the best platform with the best brokers, and that's our line in the sand. So come on over. We'd love to have you. And that was a funny joke, Bruce. All right, I'm going to share your joke, Bruce. I said earlier that the question about what happened to the guy that owned the pigs that went over the cliff. Well, Bruce says, well, let me ask you a question. Why did Jesus leave the tomb wide open and not close it when he was resurrected? Because he was literally born in a barn. Okay, remember how when you leave the door open, your mother would yell, hey, what are you, raised in a barn? Okay. That was pretty good. Hey, you know what, Bruce? Come on. You deserve a little more than that. Hang on. I got something for you. Stand by. Here we go.
Studio.
We're out on smoke break. I had to call him back in. So, okay. All right. You got your applause. Now, that was pretty good. I never heard that one before. I tell my son he'll get a kick out of it. He's got a joke book, and I don't know who wrote this joke book, but it's not very funny. And he loves to tell me these jokes, and he can't get it right. He has no timing, his delivery, but he's trying. He really wants to be a funny guy, so I sit and I listen and I laugh and try to help him, you know. And sometimes he'll tell me this long, and I'll laugh, and he'll go, "What does that mean?" So, he'll break it down. All right, here's the hourly chart. We're trying to work our way back up, 5960, okay? Remember, we came within a tick all the way back down to the zone. Now, on the blog post last night, let me find that bad boy. Here it is. Weekly zones capture another 20 points. I put the chart here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? Zone to zone to zone to zone to zone. Now, that was on that day, but the previous post, was four more. So there was eight passes, and the one that happened Monday, I didn't even count that one, so that made nine. But you can go out and take a closer look here. You know, a lot of partners say that, hey, just the zones alone it's well worth being a partner. I mean, they enjoy everything else, and they use other stuff, but, you know, just having those zones is really beneficial for them. So you can go read about it. There's a lot of blog posts. You can look at charts going back for years, okay? It's a pretty good tool. So, and it's there. Take the free trial. If you take the free trial, now, the way we're doing things with the free trial, it's really working out well, because sometimes people had a problem getting their chart set up just right. But Michael's making a layout file available at the beginning of each week that has the weekly trading zones in it. So when you take the free trial and download the platform, all you have to do is go over to that page. It's a password-protected page. We'll give you the password. You go over there. You grab that file. You import it. And boom, all of a sudden, your platform looks exactly like Michael's. And it has the weekly trading zones. Right, Michael?
That is correct.
That's how it works now, right?
That's how it is designed to work, yes.
We should have done that sooner, huh?
Yeah.
Now, last week, I think the file got corrupted.
I think so.
Did it work
this
week? I don't
know if it's still that way this week.
Okay. Well, let's figure it out, because it's really a good way for... So any of you that... Especially those of you that came to the free trial today, because I invited a lot of people, and I know a lot of you turned out. Maybe you took the free trial in the past, but now this thing's really starting to get your attention. You know, boy, this consistency is like... It's pretty consistent, all right? So, you want to come back, you want to take another look, you want to be serious, you want to download the platform, install the indicators, use the simulator, put on and take off trades right along beside us next week in the live trading room. But the system won't let you in because you already took the free trial. Just send me an email, support@cfrn.net. Just tell me what happened. You know, you can be honest. You can go, you know what? I took the free trial, and then I didn't pay attention, or I didn't bother to show up. Okay, well, at least you're being honest with me. I'll send you the link. I'll let you in next week, okay? Now, you can't take free trial every week. In fact, if it hasn't been 6 months, maybe you should wait, unless you have a compelling story, you know, about something legitimate that happened. If you're just a looky-loo and a tire kicker, well, we still want you to come to the radio show and hang out. But we only have so many hours in a day. And I'm telling you, we've been so busy lately. I'm working from way before sunup to it's almost time for the sun to come up again. And I still can't get everything done. And so when people come into the free trial, we want to actually give you some personalized one-on-one attention to the best of our ability. We need to keep it to those who truly are interested in learning to trade e-mini futures for a living, okay? Now, maybe you plan to do it like down the road, you know, when you retire at some point into the future. You know what? It'd probably be better if you wait and take your free trial. I'm not saying you can't take the free trial now. I'm just saying if there's 100 people in there, we can only give so many people so much time. So we would like to keep it to those who really are thinking about doing something right away so we can really focus on you, make sure all of your questions get answered, because what we would really like to do is we'd like to teach you how to do this trade, this setup, before you even become a partner, while you're on the trial in the simulator, so that at the end of the 5 days, you're like, whoa, let me in. You know, that's the kind of partner we want, okay? I don't want to twist your arm. See what we're doing. Feel the power of it, okay? Understand the potential, because you've been putting on and taking off trades in the simulator. You understand how to think in probabilities. Now, that's a lot that's got to transpire in a week. But we're up for it if you are, all right? So either just go to the free trial page or send an email to support@cfrn.net, and we'll do this thing together next week. Okay, Michael, any other important business?
Nope, I think that's it. We have the iPad, remember?
Guys, we're giving away another iPad. Okay, it's only one, but it's going to be next Thursday night in the partners meeting. Now, we're going to wrap this thing up, but hey, if you want to win, it's like the lottery. What is that thing you got to buy? If you want to win, you got to buy a ticket. So for this iPad, right. If you want to win, you got to be a partner. Now, of course, partners are emailing me going, hey, how do I get into this drawing? You don't have to do a thing. The sheer fact that you're a partner, that qualifies you to win the iPad, okay?
An active partner.
An active partner. Very good.
Yes.
And we're going to do some for other folks, because we know that everybody can't become a partner right now. And we want to, you know, we want to be kind to just those who come and hang out on the radio program. And so, fear not. We just have to figure out how we're going to do it and how we're going to select people. But, in fact, the first person that ever won an iPad Mini, that was open to the public. That wasn't just a partner thing. So we've done it both ways, and next Thursday will be for a partner, and then maybe sometime next week we'll announce a drawing for the general public. Okay? So with that said, we're going to pause for a short station identification, head out to Las Vegas, Nevada, talk to Mr. David Williams from PageTrader.com. Robin Dane will not be with us during the radio program today, but she will be with us this afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern for the Coach's Corner, so stay tuned. Do not touch your radio dial.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Morning, Dwayne.
Hey, David. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Thank you. Well, I'm doing good, too. Michael, how are you?
I'm all right, David. How are you?
I'm doing good. Just good. Trying to keep an eye on these markets.
Yes. How's that working out for you?
Let me just think about that for a minute. Not bad. Not bad.
Oh, good. That's good. Robin is not with us today. She's still in New York, but she'll be here this afternoon, guys, for the Coach's Corner at 3 p.m. Eastern. But for now, it's just me, David, and Michael.
Yeah. And, you know, we have stuff coming up this weekend, so I'm only going to be able to be with you for a relatively short period of time today. And you can take a breather because, you know, you're probably tired of hearing me talk. But... You know, that's my job. But other than that, no, it's a pretty day here in Las Vegas. It's, as Robin would say, what's her line? It's a wonderful day in Las Vegas, something like that.
Beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day. That's what it is. It's a beautiful day in Las Vegas.
Beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yeah, in the neighborhood. It's funny you say that. The other day I saw an ice cream truck on my street, or something I had not seen for a million years. The guy just came out of the Twilight Zone driving what was an ice cream truck that was probably new when I was 7 years old. Hmm. It was probably a new vehicle, and he was driving down the street And I thought, isn't that strange? I've lived in this place since like 05. I've never seen an ice cream truck drive down my street. And, you know, somebody came along and drove their ice cream truck down the street. And that just seems like something from a bygone era, you know. And it's still a great idea because people live in homes and kids would want to run out. But because, you know, I would be less comfortable at this point with the way things are and what people do, having my kid run out to an ice cream truck and buy something from people you have no idea who this guy is and what, you know, what's in that freezer and all that. So I'd feel less comfortable about that now than we used to, because so many things have happened proving that, people have problems that they work out. They try to solve their problems by, you know, doing bad things to other people.
The ice cream trucks here in Phoenix, I'm sure there's one guy behind it all, but there's a fleet of like these older, kind of slightly beat up vans that have been retrofitted to become when I was a kid, there was like legitimate ice cream trucks. But this is just a retrofitted van, and they're all this sort of a brown, tannish color. Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, the funny thing was that the thing that plays the song, that song, that thing sounded exactly like the old ice cream trucks. I mean, either it's a digital recording of how the old ice cream trucks used to sound, or it is the old ice cream truck. And I think it actually is the old ice cream truck with that same sound, because it stopped me in my tracks and brought me back, you know, 46-7 years, you know. Anyway, so it's kind of interesting. Yeah, I'm glad they're still around. I'm glad somebody's still out there doing that.
Did you enjoy an ice cream?
No, I didn't. He just drove right down the street. I suppose there was a part of me that kind of wanted to run up and say, hi, can I have one of those, whatever they are, you know.
Gosh, you know, with the cost of gas today, cruising around the neighborhood is not a cheap venture.
No, it probably is not too cheap.
The margin on those ice creams is probably not.
Well, they're probably a little more pricey than they were at the 25-cent level you and I were clip-clopping up to that truck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
here in my neighborhood, they're like $5 or $6 a piece.
Yeah, that's probably what.
Are you serious?
That's probably what they're like.
Really?
Yeah. Well, Mike, you know, that's probably what it is.
$5,
Michael? Anyway.
Is that true? $5?
Yeah. It's a $10 bill when my kids go there.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, if the ice cream truck happened, it doesn't come down my street. It goes down the street next to us.
I would pay that guy not to come down my street. I would pay that guy.
It makes a horrible sound.
Avoid my house.
Well, they run through the neighbor's yard to get to it, and they get over there, and then I end up walking over. And, I mean, you can hear the thing from five streets over. You can hear that. You can hear that thing.
Well, I wouldn't call it. I don't know what yours sounds like. Mine isn't. Ours isn't a horrible sound. It's just that classic old 1970s.
Yes, it's the same sound, but it's only horrible. Well, you don't have your kids dragging you over there to go to it.
Oh, I see.
You may think it was a horrible sound if you were in the middle of something and your kids hear this sound and suddenly they're like, Dad, come on, Dad, the ice cream truck's
out. Oh, that's great. Well, it's just nice, and it's one of those memorabilia things, you know. I went back, and I'm going to be going back to California at some point here to, we're in Nevada, so California is only a few hours away, but I want to visit my old neighborhood again just to see what's happening in it. I haven't been there a long time. It brings back a lot of nice memories. And the school that I, Prairie Elementary School in Northridge, California, is a parking lot. So whatever, that school just wasn't, there wasn't enough students or whatever to continue going to it, which is just interesting. You know, everything changes over time. The high school I went to, Granada Hills High School in Granada Hills, California, just a little bit up the road from Northridge, is a completely Asian school now. So apparently a lot of Asian kids, families moved into the neighborhood because that high school, which used to be ordinary white, regular, what are we called anymore? I don't know what to call ourselves, but
honky.
Anyway,
think.
so honkies. Now it's just pretty much a pure Asian school. And, you know, the Asians, I don't know if you've noticed, I mean, not to, this isn't a thing against any other group, but they're pretty much a pretty smart group of people. You know, they get stuff, they know how to think, they do well in school, they're bright and sharp people, even, you know, especially even as kids. And so I'd be curious to see how that, I'm pretty sure that high school is probably doing pretty well, because at least the ones that I've known in my life, both children and adults, seem pretty sharp and pretty smart, and they pick up things quick, and many of them already have two languages that they know. And I think we're all going to be ended up, you know, later, kids are all going to have two languages. You know,
there's a lot of schools here in Phoenix that are teaching Chinese, Mandarin.
Wow.
Yeah. And almost any school you go to in the greater Phoenix area, the chance of you coming away from there bilingual to some degree is probably pretty good, because you're just going to be exposed to it, you know, quite a bit.
I wonder if they have, what is the word in Chinese for lead, you know? Since so much of what comes from China has it in it, lead. Just wondering, do they have a word for that?
I don't know. Andrew says that he lives in that neighborhood you were just talking about.
He went to
North Ridge, and his best friend went to Granada Hills. Yeah.
Oh, that is really interesting. Well, you tell him he can give me a call anytime.
You just did.
I'd like to find out. Okay, yeah, right. Because I would be curious to, I'm very curious to hear what the neighborhood's like now, and just some of the, if somebody could update me, if you could update me, let me know. I'd love to hear it, and, you know, I promise I won't try to sell you anything. A little humor. No, but I would love to hear it. I'm actually very sentimental. I love going back to places where I grew up and where others and where events took place and, you know, the whole thing. I think everybody is to some extent. But it does seem for some reason to mean a lot to me, and I do find myself, I do remember my own dreams in flashes, and I can see that I'm in my dreams. I'm in a lot of these places, and maybe other people are like this. Do you notice that sometimes you dream quite a bit about places when you were younger in your youth, streets and little corners and little spots that for whatever reason meant something to you, or they just do in your dreams, that kind of thing? And I go through a lot of that, and so it draws me back every, you know, 4 or 5 years. I feel like going back there to check it out and see it again and all that. So,
what's your office? What's the office number? 800? What is it?
Let's see. Andrew can call me directly at 888-231-4702. Don't call right now. I'm doing a radio program. No, after the radio program is fine, if he wants to. Or anytime, actually. Anytime he's free.
Hey, Michael, speaking about the old hood and all such as that, there in Boston, there's a free newspaper. Here in Phoenix, we call it the New Times, but in Boston, I believe it was actually called the Phoenix. Are you familiar with
right.
that paper?
I'm familiar with it, yeah.
After 47 years, as of today, they're out of business, shutting down.
Are they really?
Yeah, an institution, 47 years. They said declining ad revenue. Now, like the New Times, the New Times has a little bit of editorial, and it's kind of cutting-edge editorial. Sometimes it's actually worth reading, but by the time you get 10 pages into it, it's nothing but advertising. Topless bars, hookah restaurants, you know, need a massage. I mean, it just goes downhill really, really fast. I remember a time when the New Times, I really enjoyed picking it up every Thursday to read. Back when Don Bowles was murdered here in Phoenix, his car was blown up in front of the courthouse. The New Times, they were doing the investigative reporting on that, and they were doing a top-notch job, kind of along the lines of what David's favorite paper, The Inquirer, does. It's not as stellar as it once was. And I bet the Phoenix there in Boston, after 46 years, if they couldn't sell advertising, the economy's bad, but it's not that bad. What was their editorial content like, Michael? Was it any good at all?
Honestly, I don't know.
You don't know?
When I lived in Cambridge at MIT, it was around that area.
Okay.
I don't see it all that much around here where I live now.
Okay. But it's not available in like the convenience stores and things like that?
It may be.
Yeah.
I honestly haven't seen it in a while. I do remember it, but I haven't seen it in a long time. Okay. And maybe that's why they're out of business.
That's it. All right, guys. This is the S&P 500 E-mini Futures hourly chart. I just circled this little doji. Price was trying to make a run from the zone at 48.49 back towards 59.60. We got about halfway, and then we put in this hourly doji. And I think most of you tuning in at this point know that is fairly significant. So if you want to be short this market, if you're looking for some reason, getting back below the low of this doji right here. In fact, if I have time, I'll even put a tweet out. But David, what's your take on the market? I know you're short on a big weekend for you. You got your seminar, and I know you got a lot of things to do. Got to make the sandwiches and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, and I'm going to be buttering the bread, and I've got other little food items and things I'll have for the people.
Are you doing the pastries as well?
Baking cookies.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, I will. I haven't been. I've kept myself busy with the cookies. Sure. Yeah. We do have that, and that's why I don't have all the time today here, but I do have a little time.
Right.
I'm very happy to be here. Let's see. Let's take a quick look. If you wanted to, let me get this one thing in here. Give me just one moment, and then I'll be ready to go here. So. Okay, so let's take a quick look. With regard to the S&P, let's start there because this is, we've been making news, market's been zooming up and all that stuff. Earlier today we had a nice trade on the long side, buying the pullback. This essentially, although we will take short positions, I think we're more of a mind to, we think the buy side is easier than the short side is, even intraday. But that's just us, because other people have different ways of dealing with entries and exits and so on. So we have another really quiet, relatively narrow range day. We've talked about this before. You know, the completion of the 55 level was very important. We do have levels very close to the ones that you've mentioned here today. 1560 has been in our panel for quite some time on the upside. These are close by levels. You know, these are levels that are not real far apart because the market has low volatility. And so we're not trying to, find the more distant and more important targets, except for our more important distant targets that we've mentioned. But just from day to day, these levels are fairly close by each other because the overall range is pretty small here. But having said that, the market is very much at a standstill here. This is very common behavior. We see this every day now. I don't have a lot to add except that ordinary indicators for the longer term continue to fail, and our forecast is, or our outlook is, that those indicators are going to continue to fail until the market returns to more normal behavior. This is a runaway bull market, and it is not something that your VIX or your, you name it, is going to be calling on the longer term correctly the top. And many people have been hurt by that. And there's nothing wrong with getting hurt once, maybe even twice, having a bad trade on it. But it's pretty obvious. By this point, even the cab drivers know it's a runaway market. So now you don't have any excuse. Some people are very tormented by the idea that the market's going to have a big move down and they're not going to be in it. And the price they pay to satisfy that torment is numerous losses. And in the end, they almost never get it right anyway. So what they end up doing is just blowing a bunch of money, and it's all from being hypnotized, like we talked about yesterday, by an idea. And the idea is I just can't live with myself unless I catch the top, because they're going to really whack this thing hard when they go down. Well, those are a bunch of ideas that you just came up with, and they're dictating how you're going to trade this market. And those kinds of compulsive, dictatorial ideas aren't good traders. They don't have to live with the losses. They just have to tell you what to do, and if you do it, you end up not doing so well. So be aware of those types of compulsions and drives in your trading. You should know what you're looking for. You should be able to identify what you're looking for, and then you should trade what you're looking for using risk management. And risk management is the very first thing we're doing. Making money is the second thing. Where it's, if you put it the other way around, then in my opinion, you've got the order backwards. Because the very first thing we need to do is protect our capital using reasonable risk. And then the second thing we're trying to do is make some money while we're protecting our capital. That's what we're trying to do in the end. If you put money making first, then in general, that can mean that you don't think protecting your capital is that important. Or if you're like some people, you have a big trading account and you think, well, it doesn't matter because I have enough in there. And I can assure you that that kind of thinking will replicate itself in external results, meaning that you will at some point not have enough in there. So you don't play fast and loose, even with your own money. As a matter of fact, I've suggested to people that you treat your own money like it's somebody else's. And whether you care about it or not, one of the biblical principles is that you're a steward of the things that you have in this life.
That's right.
And I'm not preaching. I'm just mentioning this as a beautiful idea, a beautiful, beautiful idea that you're simply taking care of the things that you have in this life as if they were owned by somebody else, and you're doing your best to take care of them, manage them, and so on. Because that's a very, very different psychological position than you playing fast and loose because you've got a lot of money or you've got a sizable trading account or whatever it is you've got. And people that do that, then there's another biblical principle, pride before a fall. all this stuff is human nature that is outlined many, many times in the Bible and other, traditional places and texts, that these are things that have bad habits that people fall into. So keep that in mind, especially regarding the risk side of the market. And don't torment yourself over what you should be or if you can't catch it, what you're going to do and how bad you're going to feel. You're just predicting and fulfilling your own future. And, how is that working out for you? That doesn't work out very well. So, anyway, those are just suggestions. It's a very mental game, the game of trading, the job of trading, the endeavor of trading, the whatever you want to call it. There's quite a bit of mentality, psychology involved in it, and you don't have to become a psychologist or a Zen master. You just have to keep it clean. That's what you have to do. And you have to treat your money like it's somebody else's, not like it's your own, and doing that will help you. I think that idea will help you treat it properly, because I went through that whole thing myself where, you have the trading account, and because you have enough in there, it doesn't really matter what happens, and you let things run against you, and you let bad habits take root and grow in you, and before you know it, you have a garden that's been crushed out by weeds, or even if you had a garden in the first place, it's just there's weeds there. So there you are. So anyway, S&P today has gone up and tested what for us. We have a 60 level, which we think is important. They didn't quite get up there. They're reacting off that level. I don't have much more to add except that we're still, upon pullbacks, going to continue buying stocks or selling puts against stocks that we own or selling puts naked against things that we don't own, stocks that we don't own. Naked doesn't mean we take our clothes off. It means we are selling options against a stock that we don't actually own. That's in the business they call that being naked. If you own the stock, that's different. Why is it different? Because when the market starts to move up, you actually own the instrument thing itself that's increasing in value rather than simply placing a derivative bet around the thing. And there's nothing wrong with those derivative bets. Derivatives have a bad name, but they're extremely useful, and one of the reasons why they have withstood all the heat that the regulators, everybody else, the whole derivatives thing, is because derivatives are extremely usable, practical things for you to express your opinion of what the market's going to do, options being one of them, and there's many, many other types of derivatives. And all it really means is that if you think of a bunch of concentric circles, in the center is the thing itself that everyone's keeping their eye on. That's the stock or that's the index or whatever it is going up and down. And then there's concentric circle after concentric circle of various kinds of instruments that are more and more distantly related to the movement of that object in the center. Those are called derivatives. And you can get so far out from the actual object in the center that's moving up and down with a derivative, you can get so far away that other derivatives movements are actually more important to that derivative than the thing in the center. And that's where the complexity starts to come. When you get seven or eight layers out from the center, where the stock or the index or whatever the main instrument is, the underlying instrument is, you get so far away, then derivatives themselves that are in the way of you and that center are themselves starting to dictate, in a sense, to your derivative. And at some point, it gets to be potentially unmanageable because no one can really tell what those derivatives and the results of the derivatives movements are going to be on your derivative. And then there's been troubles with that. But having said all that, we still have things that have seven and eight levels of derivatives around them because they are usable, they are still practical, and they still have meaning to people who want to express themselves in the markets one way or the other. They want to buy, sell, hedge, twist, turn, whatever it is. They want to put it together in some way that's meaningful to them. So that's kind of a short overview of derivatives. That's basically how it works. There's a central underlying asset thing that's moving up and down, and there's all these other instruments that can be that react in one way or the other. They're tied to the whole thing, a portion of the thing, that thing, and some other thing, and those are the derivatives that you can trade in that you've heard about on the news so much. So kind of a complicated sounding word, but you get the idea. I hope so. Okay, so really other than that, the S&P is very strong still. You know, I know on the news, and I know you mentioned it yesterday, Duane, about the all-time highs. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is about the news, but I don't see the cash market anywhere near or within 2 points of any all-time high. I see the cash market right now at 1561.31. And I see the all-time high at 1576.09, made in October of 07.
When we brought it up the other day, we were the cash market was within 5-6 points.
Well, they said somebody said 2 or 3 points, but we haven't been within 5 or 6 points of it since October of 07. Either somebody's reporting that, the information's on the internet, or they're utilizing some other index other than the S&P cash.
Because the S&P 500 cash index intraday high.
Yesterday was 15. Oh, excuse me. Let me get on to yesterday itself.
Well, don't go to yesterday. Pull up if you've got the S&P cash. Pull up a weekly chart or something, and then that will or a monthly chart. And then you'll be able to see clearly what the all-time high was. This platform won't pull up the cash index.
Yeah, it's 1576.09.
Okay, and the highest we got recently was?
1563.62.
So we were, 14 points off?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the news or whatever, they're saying we came within 2 points. I'm sorry, that's not the case.
No, nobody.
If they were referring to the S&P cash,
nobody said
we did not come. What's that?
No, nobody said 2 points.
We didn't come within 5 points.
Well, nobody said we did.
Oh, I thought yesterday on the program you were saying we came within 2 or 3 points of the all-time
high. I said
high.
We came within a few points.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Only basing it, David, I don't make this stuff up. I'm just basing it on what the actual all-time high is and the recent high that the cash market has put in.
What do you show? Do you show that, what the all-time high for you is?
I don't. This platform here doesn't.
Oh, okay.
Cash. Hey, Michael, you got the cash market platform running?
I don't.
I
don't have it running anywhere.
Somebody type
okay.
in.
Okay.
Whatever it is.
We've come within about 13 points of the all time, unless they're referring to another. I'm not making this to make an argument. I'm just saying I've heard it not only from you, but I've read it on the internet. And they're saying we came within two or three points of the all-time high on the S&P. Well, for starters, that would mean the cash market is trading at a tremendous premium to the futures, which it is not. It's the cash market right now is trading at 1561.26, and the futures are trading at 1554.75. It's about a 7-point premium. So I don't know what they're referring to, and I've seen this before with the news and with the, they throw numbers out there. Unless somebody wants to correct what I'm saying here, and unless they maybe they're referring to another form of the S&P 500 cash, I don't know. But the S&P 500 cash right now,
all-time cash high, is 1576.09, and the most recent S&P cash high, 1563.62.
That's right. That's the exact number. So the news has been reporting. Here's my point. The news, I can bring you up to a bunch of sites, and I think you did say yesterday, just within a few points, this is about 13 points away, and it was, you know, they were actually saying on the news like 2 points, and that's not correct. So you got to be careful with what the news, even on the internet, and even places like MarketWatch, they get it wrong all the time. They get it wrong all the time. And if, unless they were referring to something else, that is the case. We're 13 points away from the all-time high. And in the news, they said we came within 2 points of the all-time high. Now, maybe if somebody has something out there that corrects what I'm saying, but I've been doing this for 23 years, and I've seen this over and over and over and over again where the news gets the numbers completely wrong. I don't know of anything that got within 2 points in the S&P of its all-time high yesterday. 3 points, 5 points.
Neither do I.
Yeah. So just keep that, just mentioning that that's something that I had thought about on the other. I think we're not that close. We got a ways to go yet. And the premium from cash to the futures is really not that great. It's like 7 points right now. So cash is trading above futures. So we'll go from there. Anyway, just wanted to make note of that. You know, the news, they get the numbers wrong all the time. It's very common, and I don't know why they do and where they pick up their numbers, but if one guy gets it wrong, if one respected reporter gets the number wrong, people pick up that number from him, and then they spray it all over the place. So you really can't trust it, even if it's from a trusted source like a Money Watch or a, you know, Dow Jones or
typically like CNBC or Market Watch or Dow Jones, when they post an article, I would like to see one of those articles, because typically they post a chart. You know, they take a snapshot of the chart. I'm not saying you didn't hear some report that said 2 points.
I did. I did.
I believe you.
I did hear it.
I'm just saying it seems because it's not something that anybody's having to, like, you know, remember. I mean, everybody on the planet, even the cab driver, can just bring up a chart and see what the
alternative is. I would say that same thing, but I, like I said, I've seen it 100 times. Where they get the numbers wrong. I don't know what that is and why they're not able to get the number right. But I'm telling you, they got it wrong yesterday, and unless somebody wants to correct me or correct the numbers that I'm giving, I'm just pointing it out again that that's just another time that they've said it. But either way, keep an eye on that. I would be careful not to rely too much on what the news says, no matter what the news source is. If you have a chart in front of you, I would believe that faster than I believe the news. So, unless, of course, it's in the Inquirer. Okay, we'll move on.
Then we believe it. Okay.
Okay, so let's see. We'll head over to gold. I don't have a lot to add on to gold. We've talked about this a number of times. We're trading gold as if it came in, that the bottom that we're looking for in March came in 1 month early. We can't be sure that that's the case, but we're long, and gold's up a little bit today, so we're going to continue to hold on to that position. I'm going to run through these kind of quick here because I am running a little short of time here. Sorry about the time, but the bond market, we're looking for we're in the 1 month late for the bottom, and the bonds are starting to show that underway on the upside here. Today we're up decently. I do think we have a multi-month advance coming in the bonds here. So we'll keep an eye on this and see how they continue. There's probably going to be some good trade opportunities on the way up, or hopefully there will be, because there will be plenty of time for them to put this in. And then when that move gets done on the upside, I'm actually, you know, pretty sure that we are going to be seeing another decline in bonds, and that might lead to our final, you know, the actual interest rates starting to move up from there. So I've said it a million times, take advantage of the low interest rates, the 0% deals, whatever they are, because that's where I think we're headed. Okay, so euro today, again, euro is up. We're looking for a March bottom in the euro, but we're not doing anything with it until later in March. So it's nice to see them bouncing here, but we're still in March, so we're going to leave that alone for a little bit. some more information I could give on that, but we're kind of a little bit in a rush here today. The crude oil today has moved up again, and I would like to see today, in April, I know we're going to roll into May, but I'd like to see in April 93, basically a close below 93.50 today, and they're testing that level right now. We'll talk about this a little bit more because this is actually a very critical juncture that crude oil is at on the upside. So we'll save that for Monday. You know, we have the Aussie dollar that we've been forecasting would have a 300 pip move up from the March bottom. And we're just inching in on finishing that up. So Aussie dollar continues higher. This has been a really, really nice move up, very easy entry and so on. And we'll have more on the Aussie dollar next week as well. Let's see. There's a few other markets I wanted to talk about. Dwayne, if you want to throw anything in on any of these, or I don't know if you're, you know, trading these or not, but let's see. I do want to mention that. I'm sorry, Dwayne.
No, what mark? We just I've got crude up on the screen. What is it you want to look at?
Well, we were going over to let's go over to the dollar real quick. I do want to mention to people that to keep an eye on the dollar into Monday, March 18th, because there's a very important period of time for this market on the downside. So we're probably going to have put out some trades based upon that. I won't go into more detail right now, but we will talk about it on Monday. This is the U.S. dollar, which is in decline, you know, right now for the last day or so. We'll continue to see that. And then let's take a look at soybeans. We had sent out something to our institutional people to watch some levels in the soybean market. They're below some of those levels right now, or actually below one of the levels we're looking for. But I want to see how the market handles levels in all the way down from 1424 down to 1420, and we're breaking to new lows right now in this market. So we're thinking that this is something that has some potential for a reversal in this time frame as well. So I want to let them continue. They did have a little bit of a bounce earlier today. They didn't quite get down. Well, they did. Actually did get down to the 29 level, and they had a nice little bounce up to 40. And anybody who had gotten long based upon our indication to get long from 31 to 30 had a nice, you know, near, well, the swing was 10 cents, whatever they got out of that. But they would have been stopped out of the remainder of their position, and we would be looking for a re-entry. So that would probably have ended up being a small gain or a break-even, and we're looking to enter again. So this market is nearing a critical juncture on the downside as well. This is the May soybean market. And let's see, there's a few others, one or two others here. the one that I'm most enamored with is the natural gas market, which we had a forecast for a big move in natural gas. I think it was to get up to $4, and they did in the March contract in natural gas. And so that was off of the bottom that they recently put in way back in on February 15th. So if you take a look at natural gas, that's one heck of a move.
Yeah, that's
the
huge.
Kind of, yeah. And that is all part of a we weren't able to really get long in it until, believe it or not, we went long on March 7th. That's when we got long, which is roughly about the halfway point of the move to trade to the target of $4. And they got up there. So that was probably the best trade that we've had in terms of the longer term just recently here. So, and I think, let's see, let me double check that number on that as well. Stay with me just one second. I want to just see something here. Okay, well, we'll let that go because I'm not able to bring it up. And I think, Dwayne, I think that's everything that we have right now that I'm looking at. Yeah, what we were looking for originally in the natural gas was we were looking for February to mark the bottom. It came 1 month early, and so that meant we have to deal with that if we want to, kind of like what we're doing with gold. And now we were able to buy on March 7th and be in for the run for which, you know, most all of it is completed now, so if not all of it. So we had a nice natural gas move. That's why I've been saying the natural gas market, it is tradable, it is, it's manageable, it's a market that you might not even think about. I know we do now, but you know, this is a market that many traders might not consider trading in, but it actually is quite tradable, quite readable, and it has decent volume, and you get decent fills in it. It's not bad, both intraday and longer term.
So now, March 7th was the day. Now, you know, this is just another example. We always talk about how, like, you have important price levels, and we have levels like weekly zones. You
yes.
arrive at them in a completely different manner than we arrive at them. However, when we and then sometimes Mike Reed will come on the show. His method of coming up with important prices is even different than ours, either one of ours. So you got maybe three different methods pointing to the same price. You really got to kind of go, wow, maybe I should watch that price. Maybe it really is important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I said that to say this. This indicator I have on my screen, one of ours, the dynamic support and resistance tool, which we've had for a long time, and I've started to put it on the chart again because some of the new partners have not had an opportunity to use it. But this mathematical formula, totally different than what you use, your reflected wave would have gotten you into this on the 7th, you said.
The forecast, this was really more of a roadmap type of trade, and we just could not read it as the bottom came 1 month early, so we had to wait prudently for a better signal, and what you're showing there, that's basically on the March 7th is where we went long.
Well, it turns out what we had is we had dynamic support down here. This is on daily chart. And then up here we had dynamic resistance. And then on the 7th, it just so happens was the one day that we closed above dynamic resistance. So we consider that to be broken resistance. And once it breaks, boom. So somebody who has your information, your roadmap, and then they're also running this, it's congruence, confluence, whatever you want to call it, it's just amazing. Don't you agree?
Simply amazing. I do, Dwayne, right here. Sorry, I accidentally bumped my mute switch. Sorry about that. I do.
Those cupcakes.
Right. We've talked about this on the program. The idea that when more than one different kind of methodology come up with something, that's often a very, very powerful signal on its own. I do want to remind people that having a stochastic up and an MACD up is not really the equivalent of getting two different indicators giving you a signal. You know, they're roughly the same in many ways. So just keep that in mind. But it is a very powerful tool or event when you get two completely different methodologies showing you something. You may have, I don't want to bring up the methodologies, but anything that's different and that they're not really correlated to each other. There's a lot of things that look like they're not correlated, but in reality they actually are correlated. So you're not really getting the full bang for your buck. You want uncorrelated stuff showing you the same signal, and that could then be a very powerful signal. A lot of people are very uncomfortable buying at the kinds of levels that you're seeing there on natural gas because, again, the classic traders, we could write a song about it, which is that it's already gone up too much to buy.
And myself, I mean, I would look left here, and I would see this swing high where the market got slapped back down. So even though I have this signal here, I mean, I might be willing to take it long, but boy, I'm pretty skittish when I get to this area right here.
Yeah.
I'm looking left and see what happened the last time. But if I have the additional information that you like it or long, you know, then it might, maybe I stick with it, you know, maybe I.
Right. This is why, and what you just went through is the traders, that's what traders deal with every day, that kind of information, that kind of thinking process to try to decide what the right thing to do is. And look, you know, on the days that they tested that old high, they had dojis and whatnot there. And, you know, a person would want to book something and then hold their remaining position if they had good information that much higher prices were coming. So, listen, all of this stuff is just forecasts until it actually becomes actual. But what we're trying to deal with is the highest probability. And if we have probability that something further is going to happen, we want to book some gains at or near those old highs, perhaps, just to make sure that you've taken some, and then hold some portion of your remaining position for the remainder. And then the next trader's song is when it does rally, I should have left it all on. And then that's how you start building the bad habits that make you not be able to do what you just did in the market, which was you had a successful trade, and by having the successful trade, you poison it by saying, well, I should have, now that I have this information that it actually did go up, I should have been in all my position. And you forget that you didn't have this information before, but you now think you could have it for next time, and the next time you do the wrong thing. And so that's why I say the market, in a way, tempts you into doing the wrong thing. All you have to do is remember that that temptation is there, that after the trade's over, it's very easy to say, well, yeah, I should have done this and should have done that. But even the cab drivers can say that. There's a reason they're driving the cab and not in front of the markets, because maybe they can't do what we're talking about, which is to keep your head on straight, trade properly, manage the risk. Nothing wrong with driving a cab for a living. It's a very respectable living. But what we're doing here, that what we're talking about here, has nothing to do with respect. It has to do with an ability to manage risk while balancing that against the probabilities of a setup completing. And in this particular case, yeah, I would have wanted to take something off at the old high there and leave a remainder of the position on and manage that position, move my stops, and the whole thing. And then afterwards, when the party is over, not change my trading methodology because this one did work and I would have made more money if I would have held. That's the oldest saw in the whole book, is for a trader to make money and have done the right thing, and then when it's over, with that information, now go decide to do the wrong thing the next time. That, I'm telling you, that's how people go downhill in this business. So keep an eye on what your mind tells you after you have a successful trade. And don't let the fact that you had half of your position on for the last 3 days up in natural gas or whatever it is, don't let that tempt you into thinking that you should have had your whole position on, because you did the right thing by getting out some of your positions just in case they turned. And you did the right thing by holding on and seeing if they could run them, and you did the right thing by exiting at the target that was originally, and so on. Then you can turn that into the wrong thing now that you have all that information. It's called post-dictive. It's an error. It's that you don't realize that you post-dictive, it's a funny word, but it basically means that you're able to make new decisions with information that you could not have had previously. But now that you have it, you think you're going to be able to make those good decisions based on this one, but the next trade is going to be different, and so on. So it throws you and it loops you. And believe me, professionals, amateurs, long-term traders, we all fall into that trap. And the way you stay out of it is by keeping your eye on the ball, which is that the game isn't to make the most money. It's to have the highest probability of making money. That's the game. If the game was to make the most money, then it's a free-for-all, and you're going to lose. When you do lose, you're going to lose big, big amounts. We're trying to manage the risk first, make money second. And that's why what we just talked about here is important. So anyway, so I think that's everything we have, Duane Reeves from CFRN.
All right, David Williams. Well, I'll tell you what. I wish you and all those folks coming to the seminar a great weekend.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
Will you be driving them around in the parking lot in your little...
Well, if any of them are listening, the facts simply are this. If you ask me after the seminar to drive you around in my Volt, not only will I say yes, but I'll be unable to say no.
How long is the cord?
It's a disease I have. What's that?
How long is the cord on that thing?
Let's see. I think I've got a... I think I can drive about 100 yards in it, and then it'll finally... No. Are you actually asking the cable length, or are you just joking?
Because making a joke because it's an electric car.
Yeah, you have the cable pulling, and I'm driving around. Yeah, no, I will drive you in the Volt. It is a sad truth that I have that disorder, because I want to see your face when you feel all the torque and the smoothness and the quietness. But, yeah, if somebody's listening and they're at the seminar, the sad truth is I probably will.
Okay.
So, just, I'd like to be upfront about these things. I can't wait for you to ask.
Do you still get excited? I know the first seminar, you were – well, you've done a number of them now. Is it starting to kind of be, you know, old hat, or do you still get excited to meet the new people? And
I'm very excited to go to these seminars. It's funny that the expectations are very high. People want to know this information. Obviously, they're coming there. And I have, in training people, in teaching this, I've actually polished up my own use of reflected wave even more than had I not given seminars. And we talked about this before. Teachers, and when you teach something, you really learn more and you get new insights into it. So I've had some new insights and things that I've been able to show people that are very, very useful. And yes, I'm very excited about going to the seminar tomorrow. As usual, I'm a little nervous also to go to the seminar tomorrow because there's a lot of information I want to give, and I want to have everything, you know, play out properly and so on. But no, it's very exciting to do these, and it's a thrill to see people, you know, put the information to work, ask questions, go through it all. So, yeah, no, it's not old to me yet, and I'm sure it would take quite a number more before I would be. You mean like, you know, oh yeah, gosh, got a seminar tomorrow. Oh man,
yeah,
all right.
I mean,
well,
you know,
do I have to wear my suit? Do I have to put the suit on like last time? No,
well,
go ahead.
The fact that you're not doing it every day, that, you know, there's months in between, that it should take, you know, a couple decades before it gets old.
Yeah, well, you know, teaching, I've said this on the radio before, there's something profound and honorable and I don't know what the word is, but teachers, people who teach, and I don't really consider myself seriously a teacher, but in this guise, in showing this stuff, I am teaching. And there's something really beautiful about teaching. There's something really beautiful about transferring information and getting people to understand it. And I take the responsibility and enjoy it and all that. So, yeah, it's a thrill. It's exciting because although we've spoken to these people, we have not met them in person, kind of like you meeting the CFRN partners, where you might not have met them individually.
Right.
But I just want to let the partners know that the chances of you meeting Duane Reaves, say, outside his home area, are slim, not real big chances for you to meet him outside there. So, but having said that, it is exciting to meet the people. And I want to say this, from previous seminars, many people have returned to Las Vegas for either a quick meetup, or they'll say, hey, I'm in town, can you meet for lunch? We just had a fellow from Sweden do that, and I go out and meet them for lunch. We have a great time. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Was that Daniel by chance?
I'm sorry?
Was that Daniel by chance?
No.
No? Okay.
No. Different fellow, but was out in town here, and I really appreciate the fact that they call and say, "Hey, I'm in town. You want to get together for dinner?" I say, "Sure, that'd be wonderful." So we got together and had a nice time. So yeah, I'm excited about it. And if you are coming, you best get on your airplane because it's tomorrow. So most people are probably traveling right now. So in the meantime, I look forward to being back with you on Monday, Duane, and we'll put it all together then. I hope you and everyone else, all the audience, have a wonderful and safe weekend, and I'll talk with you on Monday.
Okay, David, thanks so much. You have a great
weekend. Thank you very much, Duane.
And we look forward to hearing all about it on Monday.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. I'll see you guys then.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I didn't notice what time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you. And if all my dreams come true,
hey guys, that's gonna, well, doesn't have to wrap it up right this minute, but, well, we're at that part of the show where we wrap it up. You know what, Andrew? If you call him, he will come by your house and pick you up in his Volt when he comes to L.A., and he will do his very best to impress you with the torque. So, he will. He actually will. Okay, now, Michael, you still there?
I am.
You sick?
Oddly.
You sick? What's wrong?
No, I'm okay. Now. I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff here at my in my desk. My wife's
I'm just kidding.
Not feeling well.
Oh,
so,
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
So we do have a tweet on, guys. Consider being short below 15.53.75 if the opportunity presents itself. Okay. And the reason for the trade is highlighted on the screen right up there. That doji, Okay, we had two nice bullish hours. We had a big move down from zone to zone. A lot of zone-to-zone moves this week. It's really been good for the zone traders. And the zone ranger. That would be me. I'm the zone ranger. All right.
You kill you.
Okay. So, anyway, there's a tweet. Now, question. Well, okay, if we get triggered in, where's the target? Well, you tell me. Would it be the zone? Maybe. Okay, I mean, that's certainly the next fixed area that we have in front of us. 48.49. It held a support yesterday. Remember, when we broke this high, I had connected these two highs for you, right? Here and here, I said, we break that. We broke it by a tick, came back. 49 held as support. It had been resistance all week. Took off to the upside. Overnight, came within one tick of 59. It's in the area, okay? So now we're back to right here. Now, when we hit 49 this morning, we did not spend much time there. It bounced right off of it. In fact, let's go see real quick how much time we spent there. Let me go ESM3. Now, let me put it on a 5-minute chart. And then let me drop a line at, what price did I say?
I think it had a 6 in it. I wasn't listening totally.
1549, okay. So it spent, it didn't spend 5 minutes there. Look at that doji though, guys, on this 5-minute chart. When we hit the zone on a 5-minute chart, look at that doji right there. Let's go to a 1 minute. We'll see how long it was there. Oh, come on now. There it is. It spent 1 minute or less at that zone. Okay? So now let's go back to our hourly chart. So we know that when it came down and touched that zone, 49 to the tick, it spent less than 1 minute there, bounced for 2.5 hours, and then at the end of an hour, see, now the larger your time frame, the more important the doji. Okay, on a 1 minute candle, it's still, you know, something to look at and consider and all of that. But the larger your time frame, the hourly, daily, you start seeing dojis on a weekly, monthly, that's conveying a lot of information. The fact that this market traveled, it opened at 1555, it went as high as 5650, it went as low as 54.25, but then after an hour, all the trades, how many trades? Let's find out. Or how much volume? Let's pop a volume on here. Okay, during that hour, right there, we traded 122,498 contracts. So 122,000 contracts later, price manages to close at exactly the same price the hour opened. That, you know, that's just not a random occurrence. It's not a coinky-dink, as they call it. It is a graphic representation of investor sentiment at that moment in time. Now, how did and why did I choose 1553.75 for the entry? Well, right here, the swing low is 54.25. So basically, I'm giving myself a couple ticks below, okay, and the tweet said to consider being short below 53.75. I could have said sell 53.75 on a stop, but I didn't. I said consider being short below 53.75. So in other words, once this, now you could do it the other way. Once this is triggered at 53.75, you might just jump over to your 4-tick range. And, wow, look at that yen. You still there, Mike?
I am here.
Look at that thing.
Yeah, look at that yen.
Wow, that thing turned really beautifully tank. Today.
It did.
All right, let's go to the ESM3. There we go. So we actually have the 4-tick range trying to set up a long trade here. But on the hourly, we're thinking about a short trade. Now, we talked about this in the partners workshop last night. You can entertain these ideas against each other, or you cannot. You can just, you know, follow your instincts here or follow the trade setup on the 4-tick range. Now, on the 4-tick range, we would need a close above that trend line, correct, Mike? Is that how that works?
Yes, you would. Okay. You would need to close above that trend line because you have a red cycle.
All right, now, see, here's what's going to happen, guys. You're either going to get a close above that trend line on the 4-tick range, or on the hourly, you're going to get below 53.75, at which point you might then want to consider on your 4-tick range to see if you can get a short setup. Okay? I mean, look at this bearish cross, pullback, nice move down on the ES, bullish cross, pullback, great move up on the ES. Those are some of the nicest setups on the ES that we've had, I think, in a while, a couple days.
Yeah. Did we hit 57 and a quarter? Nope, we came within a couple of ticks of hitting that 57 and a quarter level. For what it's worth, it's got to give the up close on this bar because the black line's going to be below the BBC, and that would disqualify the trade.
That will disqualify, okay. Good point.
All right. That's all good. Good stuff.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go back to the hourly, guys. Is there any questions? Let me look. That green candle near 11:52 looks as if it closed above the trend line at the time, doesn't it? Was that on the 4-tick range? I don't have anything closing above the trend line on my chart. Barbara says my trend line doesn't look right. Well, I guess, Barbara, had I been drawing it in real time when it happened, I would have probably come down across the top of that candle. Based on that, yes, you are correct. Okay. But I wandered in here after that happened, and so that's why I drew it the way I did. But you are correct. There you go, right there. So... okay, any other questions on that? Anybody? Hey, let me scroll up here. Now, guys, there's a lot of stuff in the chat box. If it was a question for David, just save it for Monday because he was a little rushed for time today. If you have a question for me or for Michael, who happens to still be here, go ahead, type it in real quick. We will answer it, and then I'm going to wrap it up, and then I'll be back at 3 p.m. Eastern. For the Coach's Corner with Robin Dane. Now, she had a problem yesterday staying connected. She's in a hotel in New York because she's doing some coaching sessions. She had a problem staying connected, so I'm hoping that problem won't present itself today. But Coach's Corner runs a good 30, 45 minutes. 15 minutes, she'll talk about the topic, and then we'll open the floor for your questions, okay? So you don't have to do anything. You don't have to sign up anywhere. Just leave this GoToWebinar window open. Leave it running. You can shrink it to your toolbar or whatever. But just leave it running. And then at 3 p.m. Eastern, open it up. Robin and I will be here. She told me yesterday what the topic was. I forget. But it'll be good, whatever it is. So come and hang out with us. Question, what is the black stair step line? Well, Tim, that's part of the... I'll let you answer that if you're there.
Yeah,
Mike.
It's just part of the CFCFRN indicator. You can go out to the indicator store, download our indicators, take a trial, take the free trial with us if you haven't done it already. It's all part of the free trial. You get to take a look at that. All right. It's part of our proprietary indicator set. Yeah, that's right. The topic was how to start your trading day. That's right.
I'm waiting for that guy to email me back, Michael. I see your note there, and we will, but I'm hoping he'll... Did you read my argument?
Yeah, I did.
I argued that pretty well, right?
You did, indeed. That was a very good argument.
He's probably listening to the radio program right now. Hi, Dan. Give us some thought. We're really nice guys. You really want to do business with us. Just good things will happen to you. So, I can't guarantee that in writing, but... Could happen. All right. Okay. No more questions. How is Simple Simon today? Oh, JAM says that the topic today is how to start your trading day. Oh, yeah, that's right. How to start your trading day. David sounds exactly like John O'Hurley. I don't know who that is, John O'Hurley. I take it he's a famous guy. Possibly even embarrassing that I don't know who he is. Host programs and was an actor. Maybe I would know him if I saw him, kind of a thing. Oh, he was in Seinfeld, he was Elaine's boss. Oh, you talking about Jay Peterman? Oh, you think he sounds like... I don't think he sounds like him at all. Their voices are identical. Really? I don't know. I'll have to go on YouTube and listen to an old episode. Yeah, that was quite a character, Jay Peterman. Okay, Michael, you got to run. Have a great weekend.
Yeah.
I'll read any other notes you typed in and take the appropriate actions.
Okay. All right.
All right. And, guys, we still never triggered on that short idea. Remember, 15:53:75. I'll leave this chart running for you until I come back for the Coach's Corner. Fridays are a great day to take the free trial if you've not taken it yet. Because you'll be able to download the platform, install the indicators today. Bert's in the office. He can help you if you need any help. 866-928-3310. You'll get to mess around with the platform the whole weekend, but Monday will be your first day in the live trading room. So you're thinking, well, Friday afternoon, I'm going to get cheated out of a day. Not true. You'll still get 5 luxurious days in the live trading room, 2 hours a day, 10 hours, okay? Now, here's the thing. The reason we want you to download the platform and install the indicators is because we want to teach you how to use them. During your free trial, we actually want to teach you how to do exactly what Michael does every day in the live trading room. And now think about it. Come next Friday, if you have actually done that, downloaded, installed, and learned how to do that trade, how could you not want to become a partner? Well, maybe you just don't, and that's okay. Our feelings won't be hurt. But don't close the door on an incredible opportunity. Take a look. It's free. No credit card required. No strong arm. Just an opportunity. Okay? Carpe diem. Seize the day. I'll be back. Top of the hour. Robin Dane, Coach's Corner. I hope you all have a great weekend. Just trying to see if there's any other questions. A lot of comments, but I don't think I see any questions. Oh, there was a question about Simple. The buy order never got triggered. The sell order, 15:60:50, got triggered for one tick. That would have been a loss. Buy 63:50, that would have been nice. Take you up to 65. Sell 60.75, that never got triggered. Buy 62.50, yeah, there was a little something in that. That sell order never triggered. Buy order never triggered. Sell order never triggered. This buy order here was your best one of the day. Came around midnight. It said buy 57.50. Took you all the way up to 56.25. This is an automated thing we're working on, guys. The partners know about it, and if you become a partner, you'll know about it. It's still in alpha, and once we have it ready for beta testing, it will be beta tested by the CFRN partners. So if you've ever dreamed of having some kind of an automated thing that would just, like, tell you when to buy and sell, I hate to even say those words because it sounds like one of those green light, red light systems, which most people find out don't work so well. But it's called simple because that's what it is. It's just simple. And probably 50% of the trades never even get triggered, okay? But because it's using that sort of, you know, and or philosophy that I have, except it's only giving you one side of the equation, where when I put out tweets that say, consider being long above here or short below here, whichever presents first, simple is only giving you one. It's really putting its foot down and saying, you know, buy this if price goes above this, or sell here if price goes below this. Okay. So we're working on it. We don't know when it will move out of alpha into beta. But again, if you're a partner, you will be one of the beta testers. And if you're a partner, you'll be able to participate in the drawing for the iPad next Thursday night. So if you have questions, you can reach us over the weekend, support@cfrn.net. If you call the phone number on the website, it will go to voicemail over the weekend, but it emails me when you leave a message. So if Michael or I are available, we will call you back even on the weekend if we have time. I mean, we need to spend time with our family as well, but you are our family. So with that said, it is the weekend. Do spend some quality time with your family. And, of course, I'll see you all in church on Sunday. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.